In the middle of Perek Yud Aleph, Sivav, Aizvav, chapter 11, paragraph 6, where we began with an almost frightening description of Metzias that is found, we read inside together the Loshon of the Shulchan Aruch Harav, but it's found in other poskim, it's brought down from the Ari HaKadosh and other tzaddikim, that as long as a person is in that state of rishus, chalila, as long as he's a rasha, so then all of his learning and all of his mitzvahs and masam tovim, all of his yiddishkeit, not only does it not rise to a higher place and bring about all types of tikkunim, but it actually descends into the kayach, into the side of the klipas of the sitrach of the other side, and strengthens the force of evil in the world. And we saw that this is until that time that the person does tshuva, and that's why we learned in the Rav Shulchan Aruch that a person should persevere. Even a person who, God forbid, sees himself in that category of Arasha, nevertheless, one continues, since, as the Rav himself says in Tanya, that certainly in the end every Jew will be chayzer b'tshuva, everybody will do tshuva, and then everything, all of this kayach will be lifted to a higher place and will be restored to holiness. Now that's true, Rav Kook is explaining that's true of the way of the Rishayim, and that's the way of the evil in the world. That as long as the person hasn't done tshuva, that the klipas, the side of impurity, feeds upon and is nourished, chalila, even by the mitzvah samasim taifim of Arosha. So then he was explaining that kal v'chaymer, that when a tzaddik, whatever a tzaddik does, we know, is carefully scrutinized by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Amech Kulam Tzaddikim, but particularly the tzaddikim of the tzaddikim, where it says in Pasuk, Svivav Nis'ara Ma'od, that all those around Hashem, there are raging storms. And the Midas Hadin is very strong to complete whatever needs to be fixed in this world, to remove all things that divide the tzaddik, that separate the tzaddik from Hashem, should be completed in this world. But he says, here is the chilik between Yisrael and the Umas Ha'ilam, between the Jewish people and the nations of the world, that he explained that all the good that an Ummah HaRishah does, just like on an individual level, similarly on a national, collective scale, there are nations of the world that are called Rishayim, that are evil. And any of the good that those Malchiyas accomplish, all of that is part of the domain. It's all included in the domain of the world's evil. And Chesed L'Umim Chatas. Masha Enkein, when it comes to the Jewish people as a people, and each individual Jew, Rav Kook was explaining that it's true that the Jewish people as a people are called Goy Tzadik Shomer Emunim, a righteous nation and committed to faithfulness. That means that in the Pnimius, in the inner life of every Jew and the Jewish people as a people is Rak Tov, only good. And that means that somehow, mysteriously, the underlying motivation that was driving a person into the domain of evil, that itself is also good. It comes from a good place. The person got misdirected and fablunged and lost and so on in the klipas. But for the most part, Rav Kook explained, the underlying yisayid of the sin of the avera comes from good. And he brought the Mamre Chazal, that the avera, that the Shvatim, what we understand, as the Aveira of the Shvatim that they sold Yosef HaTzadik, that Aveira somehow sustains the entire universe, that from that meal that the Shvatim ate, which is shocking to us, after they sold Yosef HaTzadik, that somehow from the Aveira, from that Aveira comes a Gevaldige Yeshua to the whole world. The Chazal say, Ma'achilachim v'chal bay olam, the whole world is still eating because of the meal that the Tzaddikim had, that the Shvatim had after they sold Yosef HaTzadik. And where we were up to was where Rav Kook brought the Chazal of B'chol Parshas He'ibu Yitzarchem Lefanecha, where the Gemara in Brachas is telling us in the Mishnah there that Rabbi Yeshua said that a person is going in a dangerous place and he doesn't have time to say the whole Shemoneh Esrei, he should daven a short Shemoneh Esrei, a short tefillah. Hoshe Hashem es amecha, samcha shevi sisol b'chol parshas ibu yitzarchem lefanecha, boruch ata Hashem shemeh tefillah. And Chazal learned that b'chol parshas ibu means that even though the Jewish people, even though Klai Yisrael, that even when Jews are violating the Torah, they're going against the Torah, the Baruch Shalom, we're asking the Baruch Shalom, look and see inside each and every Jew. What was it that, what is that inside of him that originally drove him to do the Aveira? And whereas the pnimius of the Umas Olam and the pnimius of a Goy is Chesed L'umim Chathas, so that even the good that is done by a Russia is Ra and is part of the domain of evil. But Rav Kook is saying the Vinaha Pechu of a Jew is that even the evil that a Jew does, even the Rishus, even the evil of a Jew, the underlying and inner content of that is good. And that's why there can be a Tikkun, and that's why when the Tikkun takes place, all the zidonis and asim lekizochias, all the averus, are stripped of the outer layers of filth, and are revealed for what they truly, truly are, which was mitzvahs and asim tov. Every single avera, the shirish of every avera of a Jew, and of the Jewish people, is only a rotzen to be mizdabik to Hashem. B'chol parshas he'ibu yitzarchem lefanecha, that the Baruch Shem should always see that Parsha say even when Jews are over, even when they're over, that it's really you called Sarchem Lefanecha, that you should see all of their needs and take care of them. Al Shakach Yamina, let's continue. We're in the middle of the last ice, of the last paragraph in Yud Aleph. Right after B'chol Parsha Se'ibu Yitzarchem Lefanecha. Now, if everything is so wonderful, and Rav Kook is painting such a beautiful picture of the Jewish people and of the Yid, so then, what's the whole avoid of tshuva? So he says, El shakach yamida, shatoyva habingin ha'ilim itarech ha'chait, that true good, and that which is that true toiv and the binyan, and that great structure that really is concealed beneath the rubbish of chait, of the aveira, tzarechu sheyezukach harbe, it requires a tremendous amount of refinement, a tremendous amount of refinement. In one of Rabbi Nachman's stories, he has a story, The Prince of Gems. Some of you might be familiar with, it's a whole amazing, amazing Kedarko, his stories, you know, every single word of the story is all Sisrei Torah. But the aside hadavar was that there was a certain prince who was cursed by some evil sorcerer, and as a result of that, this prince who was truly of gems became covered by the most horrible, horrible disease, and he was like, became monstrous. And it's a whole story about how eventually the side of evil was destroyed, was defeated, and how the prince was able to once again, even though there was this promise, a haftacha from the king. He didn't know that he had all of these gems. concealed beneath the horrible, monstrous exterior. He didn't know that. There was a promise from the king that this is who he was. But the king was no longer there. And it was necessary for the side of evil to be defeated. And what happened was that in the end, all of the horrible, horrible disease, all that skin, that filth, that tumor, it started to just peel away and fall away. And then everybody saw that it's true, that beneath all of that is the Prince of Gems, that he really was made from gems. And we understand that that's the story of our lives, that even as in that story, that the gems themselves somehow, in some way, brought about that transformation into a monster. That even every drop of ugliness that appears in the life of a Jew or the Jewish people, the shirish of it is kulay taiv, is good, but it requires refinement. So that the curse of this world and the curse of the side of evil be removed. And when that's removed, then all of the peels of ugliness, all of the exterior peels of ugliness are stripped away. It needs a tremendous amount of refining before it can be transformed for the strengthening of all creation. Because while this Jew is living a lifestyle of rishus, it causes terrible damage to the world. It brings tsaros and churban to himself, to his family, to the world. And it requires a tremendous amount of refining before it can be transformed so that its true inner essence will be revealed, and that, of course, will strengthen all of creation. Till it will strengthen all of creation. Now, how does that take place? What's the main mechanism by which HaKadosh Baruch Hu peels away the layers of evil that we ourselves have caused to grow over the Prince of Gems? How is that removed? Vaziki kumidas hayisurin v'marki hacheid. Suffering. One of the most basic mechanisms by which HaKadosh Baruch Hu peels away those layers to refine the person, to bring all of that person's energy back to the side of Kedusha, is the different types of Yisurim, which are Memarkei HaChet, that purge, that cleanse a person of the impurity. All different levels of Yisurim. There are physical Yisurim, Lo Aleinu. There are emotional Yisurim. There are many, many Yisurim, as each and every person knows. Klaimar, Rav Kook explains, Hamezakekim, these Yisurim, Hamezakekim es hacheit haba mi'oimek hatoiv. Since the chait, since the sin of a Jew comes from the oimek hatoiv, it really comes from a place of good. As we spoke about last week, 2 weeks ago, what they told us brings down from the Baal Shem Tov in many places, and all the Talmidei Baal Shem Tov talk about the Inyan, as we spoke about Ahav and Nefula. Why does it? There was an old song from the Sitra Achra that was looking for love in all the wrong places. What got a person so far blundered in all kinds of crazy things, and because he's lonely and he's looking for, he doesn't know that the one he really misses is the Ribbono Shel Olam. So he thinks that, you know, that he thinks that what he's really missing in life is this, he's missing that, and Mimele he gets all lost. But it comes from an ahav and a fool. It's not that the tachlis, God forbid, is to do something against Hashem. There's no Yid is trying to rebel against Hashem. Nobody wants to go against Hashem's Baruch. Everybody is chalishing for Hashem's Baruch. Everybody wants to get close to Hashem, but he doesn't feel Hashem in his life. So like the eagle, says, Eila 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 Hechi Yisrael. So they made an eagle Azov into God. And they were in love with an eagle Azov. The tikkun is Eila Pekuda HaMishkan, is the Haitika Parshas, this Parshas, Eila Pekuda HaMishkan, which Chazal say, that Bnei Yisrael were nichshel in Eila. we failed in Eila. Because really we wanted the Rabbi Nishlalem, and we felt that he had left us, and we didn't know what happened. Whatever the confusion was, and therefore we sought love in the wrong place. We sought it in the Egel Azov, which is the Inyan. It's a very big Inyan, what was the Egel Azov, and the Merkav, and the Pnei Ashor, whatever that. But that's what we were looking for. We were looking for the Rabbi Nishlalem. It all began with that. And the Rabbi Nishlalem says in this parasha that Eila, what you're looking for, is not going to be found in an Egel Azov. It's going to be found in Pekuda HaMishkan, Mishkan HaEdus. And that's why Pekuda, it says in the Svarma Kedoshim, is brought down. Pekuda is a lotion of emptiness, you know? It means emptiness. Like by the Suda of Rosh Chodesh, today's Rosh Chodesh, by the Suda of Rosh Chodesh with David and Yohannes and Shaul, you remember? So it says that his mokum will be nifkat, his place, the place of David will be empty. It's a lashon pikudeim, it runs from an emptiness, a vacuum. It's a lashon of, so we understand that in every Jew, there's that emptiness, there's that feeling of emptiness, and he wants to fill that. The choice of a person is either it's going to be Eila Elohech Yisrael, it's either going to be the Egel Azov, or it's going to be Eila Pekudei HaMishkan, or it's going to be filled with Pekudei HaMishkan. Which the Torah says in the whole parsha of Masa Shekel is Lifkudeihem Kaifanavshay, Lifkudeihem Kisis HaZoresh Bnei Yisrael, Lifkudeihem, how to lift up a Yid, to lift him up, Lifkudeihem, that when he's feeling empty, when he has that feeling of emptiness, he should understand why does he feel empty. It's not because he misses the Egel Azov. It's not because he's missing more money, he's missing a girlfriend, or he's missing some drink. It's because he's missing the Rabbanu Shlalem. And that the Eila Elohech Yisrael is the Shoyrish of Eila Elohech Yisrael is that a person is looking for Eila Pekudei HaMishkan, but he doesn't see it. So there's an Egel Azov. And the Inyan, the Tikkun of Masa Shekel, that's not to talk about right now. Maybe on Shabbos we'll talk more about it. But the Inyan of the Shekel is Lifkudeihem. What happens to a Yid when he feels empty? But the Shoyrish of every sin of every Jew is just Taiv. It's Kulei Taiv. It was never an intention of any Jew ever to rebel against Hashem. It makes no difference how much of a lahachasnik he sounds like. It was never the rotzen of a Yid to rebel against Hashem. That's why Rav Kook says, a mazakim is a chet habo mi amek ha-toiv, mi kol kir achitzayni yishalai. Suffering purges and refines the toiv that is covered, the gems that are covered with the monstrous filth of chet. So through the mayim roischem, the boiling water, through the suffering of Yisurim, that the tzaddikim were learning, the afyayim, you learned the inyan of Yisurim shalahave already, just on the daf, not in life, you shouldn't have, but on the daf, the inyan of mitaros chalamdenu, yasur yisrani ka, that all of the Yisurim of a Jew are only to get to the Yud Hei, to get to the underlying essence of who he is, which is Kulei Toiv, but it has to be purged away. That's why the Ramban that we once spoke about, the Ramban says that there'll come a time where it will not be necessary. In the middle, there's the Teichichas, and then the Baruch Shalom is saying gewaldige things all of a sudden about Bnei Yisrael. He says, that means he won't be an abomination to me. So that's not much of a compliment, you know? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine, like, after the chuppah and in the yichud room, the chassan says to Kal, I want you to know, I hope you'll never be an abomination to me. It's not so nice. You say, you know, you're beautiful, I love you, say, yeah, abomination. So the Baruch Shalom says, you know why? I want to tell you something. The time will come where you'll never be disgusting to me. What kind of compliment is that? What kind of brach is that? So the Ramban says that the time will come when, in order to be close to Hashem, we won't have to go through the process of Hagolah, like you put the pots and pans in for Pesach. Those few that still do those things in the world, that aside from everybody who's relying on on a guy in the hotel to do it. So v'loy sigal nafshi eschem means that there'll come a time when being good, when being, I'm stammy, he learned all the halachas, I'm not saying that he doesn't know. Where being good and close to Hashem's Baruch won't require being put into a boiling pot. That's the Ramban says, v'loy sigal nafshi, I mean, it's all this way, Torah. He says, v'loy sigal nafshi eschem, it won't be necessary to kasher you. You want to be close to me, the Baruch Shalom says, when Mashiach will come, you won't have to be kashered to get close to me. Because then the Prince of Gems will be really, really bemis who he is and who he wanted to be. And we won't have to be put into boiling pots and to be put into self-cleaning ovens to be kashered. But right now in this world, the aveir is, the grime of the aveir is, that grime has accumulated in each and every person, and it requires a hagola. Hagola is really not the strongest way of kashering, as everybody knows. The thing is, it's kabbalah kach palto. The way you took it in is the way the Rebbe Shalom drives it out. Like it says in the Sfarim, and you took in, you absorbed from the outside world. So it all depends how deeply you absorb that. There are different madrigas of kashering, as everybody knows. There's Liblin, there's Liblin Gomorrah, there's Liblin Chkal, there's Irimayim Reischem. Whoever learned a little bit Yerodea knows that there are all different levels of kashering, and it all depends how much something was absorbed by you. I spoke about this in the past. There are certain Yidden that even when they do something that's wrong, they're like a klischuchis, you know, like glass. It doesn't absorb. Even the aveir, it's only on the surface. And then you just put it into a little water, you wipe it off, it's clean. There are certain Jews like that. Then you have other Jews that when they do aveirus, they do it like mamish. They do it with such a fire. They do an aveir chas hashalom, that in order to extract that, it has to be with a, you know, with libun. It has to be very strong. Very strong. It's very hard to get it out. It all depends how much a person took it in and how you took it in. The klal of kibbalah kach palta, that's the klal in kashering, that how you absorb this, how you get it out. So if something is absorbed with all kinds of tanugim, with all kinds of, like, if you really, really believed in the aveir, and you really put yourself into the aveir deeply, so in order to get that out, the yisurma of God forbid are more difficult yisurma. Chazal tells, that's the difference between Esav and Yaakov Avinu, that Esav is an ish seir, is hairy, covered with hair, and Yaakov is an ish cholak, Yaakov is smooth. And the Medrash says that the inyan of Esav is that whenever the averus of Esav is when something gets all, if someone is very, very hairy, it's like a, you know, if anybody had the pleasure of trying to get a piece of gum out of a kid's hair, right? So, you know, it's not so pashut. So Esav, the Averis of the Umasailam are completely, completely intertwined and wound up in who they are. When it comes to Yaakov, it's called an Ish Cholak. He's smooth, very smooth. So even if a Yid does something that's wrong, it's a surface cleaning. It shouldn't have to be, God forbid, hard and difficult Yisurim. So that's why the Ramban says, "V'le sigal nafshi eschem." My soul shouldn't loathe you. You shouldn't have to go through Haga'olah in order to be purified. That even when a Jew does something wrong, it shouldn't chalila seep into who he is. You shouldn't believe in the aveir. It's one thing a person doesn't aveir. You shouldn't make a lifestyle out of it and say that this is right. It doesn't get into your kishkes. It's something that you had a taiv and it was a shigoyin. You were crazy and you did something crazy, but not that you made a whole shitas achaim over an aveir, that you, this is something, you know, you have to try to bring the Rambam into your aveiris, right, to try to learn that this is pshat in the Rambam or something. You know, you do an aveir, it should be the kind of an aveir chas v'shalom, that if you do an aveir, it should be something you could just, you know, you just get off quickly. It shouldn't be something which is, but if it to the degree that it seeps into one's personality and becomes part of who you are, Chalila. So then it requires more difficult Yisurim. Because the Gemara identifies different levels of Yisurim. Even as you know, even if you put your hand into your pocket thinking you're going to find a quarter and you find a dime, it's also called Yisurim. Like the Chazal say, you thought you'll find a quarter, you find a dime. It's also Yisurim. Halavai, that should be such a thing, that a person could be potter from these, with these kind of yisurim, that, you know, and then there are yisurim. But all of it is, Rav Kook says, in order to purge the toiv of all of the external ugliness that has accumulated on the surface of the person. And then the person is once again reestablished, and he stands firm upon what? The Yisayid HaPnimi, the inner foundation of who he is. And he lives that way. Not just that he has a million chassidish Torahs, you really are so good. But be'emes, he should be that person. The person who's a chai, chaye emes v'kodesh, who lives a life that's true and holy. Chai, chaye emes v'kodesh. And since there isn't anything at all that's lost from any of the good deeds of the tzaddikim, it's anything that's good that a person ever did, any good that a person did, that good is never ever lost, chas v'shalom. As it says in the beginning of Tehillim, V'aleihu le'yibol v'chol asha yase yatzliach. Rav Kook learns the pasuk. Aleihu le'yibol means, of course, that the plant that you made, that you planted, the leaves will not wither away. It'll be strong. We spoke about this Tu B'Shvat on this inyan. Aleihu le'yibol, that the foundation of the mitzvah samasim toivim of a Jew are deeply rooted, deeply, deeply rooted. So that no matter what a person goes through, the leaves of the person's maasim toivim will not wither and disappear and die. V'chol asha yasi yatzliach. Everything that a tzaddik does, kol asha yasi yatzliach. Not 50%. Kol asha yasi yatzliach, whatever tzaddik does, ultimately will be matzliach. You might not see the hatzlocha now, and in the life of this Jew, right now this is something which is bad. But the underlying yisayid of every bad thing that a Jew does is good. And ultimately, that when that good will be redeemed and will be revealed, then we'll understand that the v'chol asha yasi yatzliach. That doesn't mean that right now you have hatzlocha with your need for love or your feeling of loneliness. It's not matzlich at all. It's gotten you to all kinds of trouble. But eventually, when whatever person has to go through it, and that will be peeled off of the person, then the v'chol asha yase will be matzlich. There'll be a complete hatzlocha. Because then you'll see that the very underlying, that underneath all of your averis was taif. And what was pushing you and driving you into all the tumah, underneath all of that was taif. And after it's refined, and after the ugliness is purged and removed, so then a person realizes it's unbelievable. That none of the tov withered. All of the taif is intact. None of the bad that I did, even though it was 70 years of bad stuff, God forbid, damaged the gems of my inner essence. The chol asha yaseh yatzliach. Nothing was damaged. Everybody thinks that anytime you do an aver, like it's permanent damage. And then you look in the Svarim, it talks about, like, you know, you just destroyed this universe, that galaxy, you know. And it's permanent, and there's nothing that could be changed. It's a pachad. It's a pachad. Like Rabbi Leibel Eger talks about the Yom Nerayim, like he says the father that lifts up his hand to give a patch, and the second that the kid says he's sorry, then it comes to Sukkot, and then he puts his arm around you and he holds you, and it's all a pachad. All of these things are frightening, but the emes is that there's no way that the essence of a Jew could be damaged. What you saw, what it says, Like somebody was asking me the chasna this week. People find the strangest times to like ask these kind of questions. Like, you know. So it was like, you know, couldn't hear and they're blasting the music because somebody asked me about this. So it, I was explaining a little bit from Absodic, the Indian of Darshir Hashum is that every ayat says in the Mishnah, the whole list of people, She'elam Chelik Lalam Haba. That's the Baruch Shalom going like this. But when a person does tshuva and he says, I'm sorry, so in the Baruch Shalom, then you realize that Kol Yisrael Yeshlam Chelik Lalam Haba. Kol Yisrael. And that's what it means, Neitzim Atoy, Masa Yodel Hispar. Neitzim Atoy means that plant, that which I planted. The Baruch Shalom planted a Jew in this world in such a way, that the plant, the tree has to go through difficulties and winters and a lot of tzibrochenkeit, but in the end it will be revealed that the shayrish never ever was damaged. The root of the tree was never damaged, chas v'shalom. None of our avarice ever reached all the way into that place that's called the shayrish, the yichidah shebenefesh was never touched. And therefore, Al-Kaini says, Sarach kol chayt, gam kal v'kotn shebektanim. Therefore, every single aveir, every single sin, even though what seems to be the smallest little chayt, it has to be what? Lizdakik, it has to be refined. Can't be left like that. There can't be any pimples, any bumps left on a Jew. Everything has to be removed. Everything has to be cleaned. K'delios mukhshar l'shamish oisa ha'poil ha'kloli ha'aliyin v'amutzuchzach. In order that very aveira should become prepared to serve the higher purpose for which it originally took place, v'amutzuchzach, which means refined and shining and pure. K'shunayadaloi kol tnuah shal neshama k'daysha. That was designated to every single movement of the Neshama Kedosh, of a holy soul of a Jew. There can't be any of the ugliness of Chet left, because the whole tachlis of that Chet, the whole underlying cause of the Chet was Taif. And the Baruch Shalom wants every single drop of any good, of every Neshama that was ever created, to be revealed. Therefore there can't be left any pimples or blemishes. Every tiny little chait has to be fixed. Not from the perspective of the negative that, ugh, you got this pimple, it's bad. But because under the pimple, there's a gem. Under that blemish, there's something beautiful. And the Baruch Shalom is makpid that every drop of beauty be revealed. It's not to look at it from the way of, this disgusting is disgusting. Well, that's true, but that's not the main thing. The ikkar is that a person knows that the Baruch Shalom wants every drop of toiv that I'm capable of bringing into the world. He wants that from me. And not only are my blemishes, my pimples, my spiritual pimples, not only are they hiding and covering the toiv in me, but Dafke, the Svar Makadosh, tell us that under those pimples are the biggest Nekudas of Kedusha, Dafke. Like Reb Tzadik, all the Tzadikim say, that Dafke, that Inyan in your life that you're weakest in, and that you have the greatest struggles with your Yetzirah, Dafke there, the Baruch Shalom prepared you to be a Kaddish, to be Naki V'Tohar, Reb Tzadik says, to be pure and clean. Dafke in those Inyanim. In those Inyanim of your life, you figure, oh look, I'm not so good at this Inyan, I'll work in other areas of Torah Mitzvahs. It's not my strong point. There are other things I can be good at. Why? Because you look at yourself and you look in the mirror. You ever see how a teenager checks the mirror for pimples? Mostly girls, but guys too. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. That inyan of the checkup. And then all kinds of things that try to get rid of, to clean. Every girl has, every teenage girl has like a laboratory in her bathroom of stuff, and all the drishas and hakiris and the bedikas mamish to look and to see if there's anything there. And a person becomes obsessed with it. Everybody knows that if you have something that doesn't belong on the body, so instead of healing it, there's this crazy thing that a person has to constantly go back and be megarer, you know, to make more tzaros over there. One thing, though, is that you can't ignore it. That's the way it is when it comes to things that don't belong. You're not at rest. They don't leave you alone. And it's a crazy thing, because a person could have the 99.9999% of his body surface is fine. And he's got someplace like, you know, this like little thing. And every 5 minutes, he gets a dick, you know, he goes to check what's going on over there. What's the matter? He has one nakuda, tiny little nakuda that you can barely see under magnifying glass. That's not good. Whatever, something. And so there's so much good. But that one nakuda, person always drifts back to that. Drifts back to that thing. And he's machriv it and oikir and machriv and stays long. But the bottom line is that the Baruch Shalom made us in such a way where a tiny blemish can't be ignored. It's the type of a person, Adarabi, you're drawn to it. And if that's true when it comes to physical blemishes, obviously that's only a superficial remez, a hint of something much deeper inside a person, that when you find that within your life there's certain inyonim in tumah that you feel obsessed with and that you're meshuggah about and you constantly drift back to, that's not a simon that's who you are. It's a simon that it's an unhealthy growth, and that dafke, your whole yeshua depends upon removing that. Your whole yeshua, and underneath that is the not just that you're a prince of gems or a princess of gems, but underneath that is the most expensive part of you. Underneath that is the holiest part of you. And the mile is that there's no permanently scarred tissue underneath. But a yid can't leave that inyan in himself alone. He doesn't let it sit. It bothers him. Either he puts himself more into that inyan with more tumah, or he goes meshuggah. How am I going to fix it? But it doesn't just sit. He keeps on coming back to the pimple. It's a teva that a person can't ignore that. But here the tzaddikim taught us that davke, that inyan, is the shayrish of the deepest taiv in his life, is davke hidden underneath the worst pimple. In the biggest nisyonis of your life, and those in yonah that you struggle with most, davke is your greatness. And that inyan, you can become a kaddish and a tar, davke in that inyan. Rav Soloveitchik talks about this, all this from, it brings different rayas in different places, in Shas and in Tanakh. Ki yedei Hashem derech tzadikim. The Baruch Shalom knows. It says in Pasuk, also there, in the first capital Tillim, that Hashem knows the way of the tzaddikim. He knows. The Baruch Shalom knows. Rak Hashem yedeya b'mokim shakol sarap e kol noitze leyagil. Only Hashem knows that realm where the thoughts of no creature, not even a malach, can reach. Only Hashem knows what's underneath the pimple. Only the Baruch Shalom knows the gem of who you really, really are. Kedei Hashem derech tzadikim. Only Hashem knows, Malkim says, kol sarafik, kol noitzel yagil, that there's a realm within the person, within Klai Yisrael, where the thoughts of no creature, not even a malach, can reach, can understand, v'chol tshuva, which is completely taiv. V'chol tshuva me'ahava ba ad oisa ha'makar ha'pnimi. And when a person does tshuva me'ahava, when he does really, really big tshuva, really deep tshuva, he's able to discover that inner source of his entire life. He's able to come to that place that until now only Hashem could reach. A person's able to reach there himself. But when could you reach that unbelievable, beautiful thing that was underneath all of your avayers? When could you reach that? Only when you do the tshuva me'ahava. That transforms. That's when the zidanis nas and kazachias, when your avayers are transformed into mitzvahs. When you realize that davke, the worst thing about yourself, the most disgusting pimples of your life, davke, were growing upon the holiest points of your life. The greatest kedusha and the greatest capability and kreiches of kedusha. When the person comes to the makar ha-pnimi, to the inner source of his life, which until now was driving him in certain ways towards tumah, bad things, but now he's able to strip away those layers of impurity and to refine himself, and through the suffering, all different suffering that Hashem brings upon a person, the suffering of a person's own remorse and regret and misery over what he's done wrong and so on. Shemisham kol also yotayv. In that place, everything is good. Binyan shel taim v'yoshel. My friend, he sees retroactively that everything was a building of something which is taim, which is perfect and straight. Retroactively, he looks back, and now he could see that everything was taiv. Everything was taiv. I was only underneath me. It was only good. Vazidoynis amishabchem lezachuyas einem tzirichem liyitzira chadasha. In order for you to become good, you don't have to create something new. You don't have to make something new. You have to become a new person. Everybody thinks, in order for me to be a tzaddik, I have to be a new person. That's not true. In order for you to be a tzaddik, you have to be the oldest person. What do I mean? In order to be a tzaddik, you have to come back to who you really were originally. That's the oldest person. You don't have to become a new person. To become a new person, you have to become the oldest person. This is Rabbi Nachman's story in the Seven Beggars, that I remember the seed before it came into the fruit. I mean, to be the oldest person, to go back to the beginning, not to be a new person. V'zidanius mishapchem l'zchuyis, when your averus are transformed into mitzvahs, enim tzvichem liyitzir chadasha. Meaning that your mitzvahs don't have to. Your mitzvahs are not something new. When you meet up with your true self, you don't have to. Your mitzvahs are not something new. Like a person who's not religious thinks, he thinks that I have to do this, like this whole new thing, this whole new lifestyle. Well, Shabbos is new, Kashis is new, everything is new. It's not. It's the oldest thing in your life. And all the layers of impurity and shmutz, all those other layers, it's all covering the makar hapnimi of who you always were. So therefore, when your averus are transformed into mitzvahs, we all understand, how could that be, that an averus, how could an averus be changed into a mitzvah? What does that mean? I did an averus. How could that become a mitzvah, that when I'm 120, the Baruch Shalom shows me that was a mitzvah? Because then, through Tshuva Me'ahava, the inner core of that Aveira is revealed for being truly good, what it really always was. It's just that you didn't know, and you never ever came to that part of yourself. And you always thought that in order for me to change, I have to become somebody new and different. And that's the most frightening thing about doing Tshuva. I can't become different. I can't be new. This is who I am. I can't change. Shabbos is new. Kashrus is new. Kedusha is new. It's all new. No, it's the oldest thing. That's why whenever a person becomes, when a person comes back and does tshuva, he feels like he's meeting the oldest friend in the world. It's not something which is new. You feel like it's so comfortable. You feel so comfortable. When I was a kid, there was a Jew on our block who was the president of the conservative temple. And five blocks away, there was a big conservative temple, and he was the president. He was a European Jew. He was a Polish Yid. He used to come, every once in a while he would come to the shtiebel, where we daven, to the Orthodox shul. A shtiebel is not an Orthodox shul, it's a shtiebel. Only a person knows what a shtiebel is. It's silly to call it an Orthodox shul. It's Amish. You know, it's being a Yid. So this Polish Yid would come every once in a while to the shtiebel. And he was a very, very special guy. He was a nice guy, an interesting guy. And he would tell us stuff like, you know, but he remembers Menachem Zemba from Warsaw, you know? And he remembers this and that, you know, Tzaddikim and Rameh Shapira, and he was Mamish. So, you know, we'd ask him, so why don't you stay in the shtiebel, you know? But I once asked him, we were walking in front, I remember it was a nice day, we were walking in front, he was walking back, because he lived in our block, so we were walking back. And I asked him, so, Mr. Solis, I said, Why? I asked him, so why do you come once in a while like to the shtiva? So he said to me, I don't feel good in the temple. I only feel good here. So Akasha, so I asked him, so stay here all the time. We'll make you president. I'll ask the rabbi, we'll make you president. That's not a hard thing. Well, you have to be a Bar Madregis to be president of it. I mean, we'll make you president. See, he didn't answer, he didn't say, he just says, whatever, something about it. He started to mumble about it, like, wife and this. Now, I don't know. It wasn't anything, and I didn't want to press, obviously. I wasn't going to push it. He was a yid that went through a lot of tzaras. You know, he was in the whole business. He went through the whole business. But he said to me, I don't feel good. I only feel good when I'm here. The smell, the way it looks. I don't feel good when I see a talus that's a scarf, a silk scarf with tassels. I don't feel good. He was telling me, I was walking with one other guy. He's saying, I feel good when I see Yidden with the talus over the head and it's a niggin. I feel good. I don't feel good over there. So there was something that was keeping him, whatever it was. I don't know what the name was, but he would always come. We never knew when he would show up. And, you know, and the Rebbe was always mechabed him with something, you know, to be mechabed him. And to try to be mechazik him or something. And he's not in the world anymore, but he never came on any regular basis. So, Shabbos Mevarach him something. He always came Simchas Torah. You know, Yid and Simchas Torah always wanders in, you know. Simchas Torah, you can't stay away. So he always wandered in Simchas Torah. We gave him a hakafah. It was a Yid that Ma'am Esur, Menachem Zemba, you know. He davened together with Rabbi Menachem Zemba. Yeah. Saw the Rogachev. He was in Warsaw those days, the 1920s, you know, in Warsaw. He said, I don't feel good. I only feel good when I come back. Because you know how it is? You're meeting up mamish with your old friend. It's not something new. When you do tshuva, it's not something new. Even a Jew who wasn't raised in that way, even a Jew who was raised in that sterile, cold world, far away from a warm Yiddishkeit. But when they come into Torah mitzvahs, and it doesn't have to be that they hear some gewaldige Torah, just when they come into a frum home, and you have a Shabbos with Zmiris, it's not something new. There's the oldest friend of mine. It's my long lost buddy. It's not something new. That's what he says. You don't have to make something new in your life. When you do tshuva, how do you realize that all I'm doing with my tshuva is revealing the makor of everything I ever did wrong in my life. The makor of it was only good, and now I'm just pulling away all the outer layers. It says in Pasuk that when Mashiach comes, Hashem is going to create a new earth and a new heaven. When Mashiach comes, and Shemayim Chadoshim, Eretz Chadoshim, Einim Tzvichim Chiddush. Bemis is not something, a new heaven, a new earth. So we're going to think like, oh, what's going to be like with a, you know, what's going to happen to my to the block? What's going to happen to my backyard? What's going to happen? This will be the same heavens and it will be the same earth. It will be the same. But all of the ugliness will be removed. The Shemayim Achadoshim, the new heavens and the new earth that I will make, they've always been standing there. They've been there all along. Like I told you many times, the Maisa that Rabbi Yosef said from the Nefesh HaChaim, from Rabbi Chaim Volozhiner, that when Mashiach comes, what's it going to be like? Mashiach comes, all Maisa, but he said that Rabbi Chaim said he's going to sit by his same seat that he always sat for 50, 60 years, and for the first time he's going to be able to see how, he's going to look outside the same window that he sat by and see that the tree looks somehow different than it. He never saw that it looked so beautiful. And he never noticed how beautifully the bird sings. Everything that was always there that we just never saw. Everything that we never saw. Everything that we just didn't notice. It was there all along. He says, Rav Kook says. It doesn't say they will stand. Oimdim. They've always been standing. It's always been there. All along it was there. It's just that because you had so much ugliness in your life, you never saw how beautiful everything is. Shemayim Chadoshim, Eretz Chadosh is the same old Shemayim, and the same Eretz, but you're different. because you took away all of the outer layers of ugliness. So Mimele, you're able to see how beautiful the world always was, that you never realized how beautiful the world always was. A lot of mice like that. It's inside of you. That's why a person doesn't realize, he thinks that the whole svara that has to be something, that has to be something different. All of the time, it was mamish there. And that you never realized it inside yourself that it was there. So we understand that the whole laughter of when Mashiach comes, like Tzchaik Asili Elokim, Kala Shemei Yitzchakli. So Yitzchak means din. Yitzchak is Gvur, Yitzchak is din. And his name means to laugh. Tzchaik Asili Kim Kala Shemei Yitzchakli. Because when you pull away the outside of din, it's all Tzchaik, it's all laughter. Tzchaik Asili Elokim Kala Shemei Yitzchakli. That all that I thought was dinim, I thought was just terrible. It's all tzchaik, asali elokim. All tzchaik. And every single moment that a person went through, and all the difficulties that he went through, and all the tzaras and so on that he went through, it's all tzchaik, asali elokim, which is the whole yontiv of Purim. That's the whole underlying shirish of v'nahafaychu asher yishlatu ha'yehudim heima b'seineihem. Until now you thought that Haman ruled over you, and then when you do tshuva me'ahava, which is Purim, then you realize that all along, Asher yishlatu ha'yehudim heima b'seineihem. Really, you were ruling over Haman, and Haman's the one that's hanging on the tree. Until now, you felt that Haman was hanging you, and then you discover that be'emes, the truth is, you do tshuva me'ahava, that really, Asher yishlatu ha'yehudim heima b'seineihem. The whole inyan of Purim is v'nahapeichu. And the whole meaning of the month of Adar is Adarabba. Adarabba is just the opposite of what you think. You just have to reveal the panemius of what it is. Was the meaning of Gedoyla Hasar Satabas, that's the Yisurim. Jews, the Nevi'im are screaming, do tshuva, later, we'll do tshuva later. Until all of a sudden, Achashverosh took off his ring, and he made the seal that every Jew is going to die, right? And Chazal said, Gedoyla Hasar Satabas. Ooh, it worked better than all the Nevi'im. Yosef Memchas Nevi'im, Shev Nevi'is. It worked better than all the Nevi'im. All the drushes of all the Nevi'im. One thing of Achashverosh's ring, the Yisurim, when the Jews felt that was it, they were going to die, and the game was over. So then Lech Knesses Kala Yehudim, then they didn't realize, well, what are we talking about? And then from that came of an Ahapichu, that all of this is a sheker. What? Achash, the parties, the gold, the silver, it's all the Tumah of Shushan. Nothing. The whole Indian of Purim is, and the whole Simcha of the month of Adar is that a person realizes that it was only Taif. It's all Taif. Haman was Taif. Mibnei Banav Shal Haman Lomdu Taira b'Bnei Brak. That the descendants of Haman were learning Taira b'Bnei Brak. We'll talk about that maybe more Matzei Shabbos. That from the Shirish of Haman who wanted to destroy Taira, he was Mamed Taira. He had diaries of Talmud in B'nai Brak. Haman himself was Mamid Tyre in B'nai Brak, which he'd been at Masik. That's why I once explained, it's late, so we'll finish, but I once explained that it's interesting. Shavuos, we have to stay up all night. It's a minute to stay up all night. Why? So Mogen Avraham brings not because it was we fell asleep that night. It was not nice. We fell asleep. The Baruch Shem is going to give the Torah the next morning. How do you fall asleep, right? So we want to fix that. In order to fix that, what do we do? So we stay awake Shavuos night. So I was thinking, actually years ago, I was thinking, it's an interesting thing. The whole problem that we had in Shushan was because we were drinking. We were nana misudish loisar v'ashem. We were drinking. Mishdayayay. So you would think that what? You would think that the last thing we should be doing on Purim is drink. I mean, the tikkun should be to be sober. The whole problem was with drinking. The chilik is that by Shavuos, Hashem held the man over our heads, and we did tshuva out of fear. When you do tshuva out of fear, then the zidonis, are what? Anas and kishkogis. Then, but it's still a problem. Therefore, you slept Shavuos back then. Don't sleep tonight. But Purim is so much higher. Purim is me'ahava, kima v'kiblu. Purim is Tshuva Mehava. By Tshuva Mehava, it's what? Zidonis, all your Averis, Nasan Kezochias. The very thing that caused your downfall was drinking, that very same thing on Purim, you drink. Because the Haya Madrega, because that's the Prince of Gems. That's when we realized that all the Toiv of a Jew comes, Ketoiv Lev Melech Hayayin, when a Jew drinks, all the Toiv is Nisgala. Not in this world. That's why we don't drink the whole year. And even a Purim, very careful, Chalila shouldn't become this, shouldn't be part of the ugliness. But Mishnech Nisyayin Yetzei Soi. When a Yid drinks Yetzei Soi, the Soi, which is the Prince of Gems, which is that it was all Toiv. So the very same drinking that caused the Gzeira to take place in Shushan is now the way that I celebrate the Yontiv with drinking. Because it's transformed. Yom Kippur is only Yom Kippurim. Yom Kippur maybe a little bit like Purim. A little bit Yom Kippur. It's not Purim. Purim is bigger. Because Purim means all the craziness and screaming and yelling and singing and everything and drinking. It's all that I thought got me into trouble, right? The emes, it's all taif. It's just I have to know how to, you know, to fix it up. But it's all taif. The very same thing that was destroying me is going to save my life. Because everybody knows that a little bit of shichus on Purim, a little bit of craziness on Purim, brings bigger yeshuas to a Jew than any other inyan in all Torah's Moshe. To have a Purim. It's misakin everything. That's why Purim, Rabbi Leibel says, Lashon of Refu, and the word Purim is Lashon of Refu. It fixes everything. Because it's v'nahapechu. Because then you don't think anymore, look, I got all these disgusting pimples, I'm so ugly, I'll try not to pay attention to it. It's when the person rips away the pimples and it's all tight, it's all good, it's all mamish. That's the shiltan of Klal Yisrael over their enemies. Over the enemy, over Haman. Okay, good Chaydash. Good Shabbos.